Keep it locked on Middays with Marcus Maben, presented by PapaJohns.com on 93.9 The Ville. And right now, enjoy three medium one-topping pizzas for $5.55 each when using the promo code MABEN5.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's Midday with Marcus Maben. 8150-93.9 is the number. I don't know if it's the tail wagging the dog or the dog wagging his tail. We are going back and forth. Brian Hall, what's going on? This is not Joe Kelly and Mark Ennis on the drive, Brian.
I know. It happens when I'm when I forgot. Well, I'll tell you what happened, actually.
Tell them. You don't owe me an explanation. Give it to the community.
So I forgot my Trinity championship. I forgot my Trinity State championship. So I added that in there, and I already had the Sports Center saved for the afternoon show. And I, forgot to go back and fix that. Because I have to mention my Trinity State champs, correct?
Yes.
That's their 25th state title. 13th by Coach Beatty.
Kudos.
So that's your mess up, and I'm sorry on that, because I have a lot going on back here right now.
Yeah. Well, you need a restart.
Okay, you want me to redo it again?
No, you need a restart. Brian, let me be a professional here.
Yeah,
let
can
me
you
be
restart
great.
My future?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I can. People, is bad credit ruining your life? You have a great job, can't buy a new home or a car. Get with the guys and ladies at Restarting Futures Credit Repair and let them raise your credit score so you can change your future. They have a 75-day program that will restart your life. Call them today, 502-407-8383. Again, 502-407-8383. You're welcome.
And keep it locked here because Middays with Marcus Maben is next. This is SportsCenter. Man, my future is great. Now.
It's good. You're right. Keep it locked tonight, man. Heisman finalist tonight at 6:15 on ESPN. Get to see who gets to go watch
Why
Baker Mayfield
do that,
win
Steve?
The Heisman.
Why would you do that? Here we are having the most emotional conversation that we've had. And, Steve, I'm not going to let you off the hook. We're having this emotional basketball conversation. I'm trying to look at the big picture. Everybody's saying you can't lose that game. So we're all at odds.
Right.
And then you interject at the perfect time the Lamar Jackson conversation about the Heisman.
Well, they're announcing the finalists tonight.
Is Lamar going to be a finalist?
I think so. I mean, I don't really, it's kind of to the point where I almost don't want him to be. I'd rather just fully disrespect
yeah,
him.
Don't give me your backhand. Again, when you've already made a Sports Illustrated and put Baker Mayfield on the cover and put Heisman under his name, that, you know what that looks like? That looks like programming, like subliminal programming to the world.
But the other part of me does want him because I almost want that whole night to be like, you guys, I want every one of y'all idiots, you watch his highlights. You watch his highlights right now. You listen to him talk, and then y'all give that stupid trophy to Baker Mayfield.
They're going to put the highlights, the worst ones, on the tape, right?
Oh, here's Lamar throwing a four-yard out for a touchdown. That's cool.
Yeah, right. Here's when Lamar hands it off to Dave Williams for a touchdown.
Wow, look at how quick he gets the ball out there. It's amazing.
Right. The Kentucky end zone where he fumbles the ball and stumbles forward.
It's Oh, wow. Well, Lamar, he couldn't control the snap, but he picked it up, and then the defense broke down.
He just relied on pure athleticism.
And they won't say he almost went 99 yards. They're going to go.
He almost had a safety.
They're going to say, and then, he gets about 14 yards. So, okay, cool. But, no, I do almost want him to do that, just so it's like, y'all watch his highlights, and then y'all tell me that gets. So that way the dude sitting in California is going to go, how the crap?
Like, that team must have really sucked.
Wow, that was a great pitch by Baker Mayfield.
Right. Like, how many of the Baker Mayfield 3-yard hitch routes that go for 90 yards
are
going
to show?
Oh, my
God. I watched a couple. I watched this weekend, man, at TCU in Oklahoma, and he had two touchdowns where guys were just running. Nobody. And this is kudos to the coach. This is good offense. But so, I mean, I'm not taking anything away.
The first play that Baker Mayfield did not start went for 80 yards by the backup quarterback.
Yeah.
People, listen to what I just said. Baker Mayfield, for disciplinary reasons, did not start in the game before last.
Yeah.
The very first play, the quarterback went for 80 yards and scored on the next play in a, with a wide open pass.
Yeah.
And you're not going to tell me.
And now it's like, yeah, play him. All right. Now, and then he played.
And then you stuck Baker Mayfield.
Well, because you knew you couldn't set him for another series. He was going to kill his Heisman race. Yes. And you're like, God, this kid's going to come right out again and throw another touchdown.
So did you owe it to Baker Mayfield to put him back in the game?
Like that was, that was, get him in the game.
If he came down and scored on the second drive, do you throw him in the third drive too?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, at that point, you run into where all of a sudden people go,
think about it.
Taking over the starting job.
That offense looked clean.
Your backup, if Juwan Pass comes in for Lamar Jackson and goes 80 yards on the first play and a 20-yard pass on the next or a 6-yard pass, you're like, this is all Bobby.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, easily, this is all Bobby. It got nothing to do with the offense. I've been watching that Oklahoma
Lincoln stuff. Riley is feeling good about that.
I know he is. Joe, thanks for joining me on 93.9, my man. Fire away.
Hey, what's up, guys? I was telling Brian a few minutes ago, you know, I'm pumped. Obviously, the Cards are coming to Jax. So, you know, maybe later on when it gets closer, man, I'll call in, let everybody know where to stay, where to eat, where to golf, all that. I got all that info.
Yeah, heck yeah.
For anybody coming down to Jax. But, hey, I was going to say, guys, you know, I know you were just talking about Mayfield, but I'm kind of going back to the basketball thing. And Steve, you know, I listened to you talk earlier, and to me, it's like you said exactly what I was kind of thinking. When I watched that game last night, I kind of did think, you know, for the first time after, I guess, this past week, that coaching is exactly what I thought in my head. And then for the first time, I really did think, I don't know why, and this could change, I guess, as it gets further into the season, but I really kind of do think that Padgett definitely won't be the coach there after this year. I kind of agree with that. And to me, Marcus, I know, you know, and it's a long season. We got to try to, you know, stay positive as possible, I guess. But to me,
fire away. You don't have to be positive.
No, I guess what I'm just saying, and it's weird. I'll let you guys kind of see what you think. But I just don't think the team is that good, man. I mean, I really don't. I think, you know, honest is honest. I mean, the kid's a nice kid, great kid. I mean, he seems really nice. He's just not a good basketball player. I mean, like you said, any type of big-time program, I think, or even one that you're going to think that's pretty decent, this guy can't ever go out as a senior and have 0 points. I mean, Ray Spalding, I think he's a great – and this is what's even – it hurts because it's like he seems like the kid that's a great practice player. But when he gets into the, like, you hear all this talk, and we've heard it for years. I mean, not that he's not contributing in other ways, but to me, I thought this team would be good if you got a little bit of something from Honest, of course. Quentin Snyder was averaging, let's say, 12 to 15. And then you had Spalding in there with another, you know, around those numbers. But to me, the thing that lacks so much on this team, and I agree with some of the other callers, too, there's too much friendship there. I think with Patino, and I hate going back to Patino, he's not there, I get it, but I'm just comparing. I think there was some of that, you know, discipline as far as those kids knew they had to pay attention to detail while they're on the bench. From what I see watching these kids play now under Padgett, it's so free-flowing. There's so much laziness. I mean, turnover after turnover, bad shot after bad shot. And like the one caller said, you know, they get down there 5 seconds into the possession, right, and they're jacking up a shot, and to me that's a lot of coaching, and to me it's so free flowing where it's
what's better under Padgett? Is anything better under Padgett?
I say Padgett. I mean, here's the thing, Marcus, and what's so funny about it, I was one of these guys, and I think I called your show one time when I talked about when I was a baseball coach for my son, and it's like I wanted to see a team that was more free flowing and not scared to go down and take a shot and not scared to get benched, you know, if they took a bad shot. But now, when I'm watching it, I'm like, to me, it's just too much of that because it's too free flowing and laziness. I mean, like I said, I think with Patino, you know, one thing consistent wise was like, look, if these kids weren't performing, they're over there sitting next to him. And to me, I just feel like the thing with Padgett, that relationship that he had with those kids was already established before he became the head coach. So they were too comfortable with him, and they already had that, whatever that relationship was, you know, like Fitino, you knew that relationship with those kids was like, he's going to discipline us, he's going to put us on the treadmill, this is what he expects, this is what he wants. Then you put a guy who basically was probably the mediator between Fitino and the other kids, and who was the nice guy, let's say, the good cop, compared to the bad cop. And I just think they're out there mentally
Joe, listen, I appreciate the call, my man, but here's the thing. You had that already put in your head that he was the friendship guy. There's nothing about the way he's coaching other than, like we said, substitution patterns, which everybody, you know, gets on coaches about substitution patterns. You don't see guys disrespecting David Padgett over there. They're not talking back to him on the sideline. Like, you, if anything, you had more yelling back and forth with Coach Pitino or more pouting and frustration. Those guys come off the court, Steve. Do you see them, like, turning away when Coach Padgett's talking to him? He stops them. He grabs them.
Yeah.
So those are the kind of things that you would say, okay, he's being too friendly if they're disrespecting Padgett or not doing what he says, right? So you can't say that the relationship, because he's not, you know, yelling at them, that he doesn't have control of the team. We can say Padgett's coaching style is different. You have to go through a change in coaching style. You can say Padgett's, you know, not making, you know, the immediate level of substitutions, but that don't have anything to do with the relationship with the players, what I'm saying.
No, I agree. I do agree with you there.
I'm just always careful to stop the narratives that are just, you know, prejudice.
Right.
You know, you're prejudging. He's young and he don't have the, you know, he's young and he can't command respect.
But I will say there is a different role from he was overnight.
Yes.
In a completely different role. And maybe there is an adjustment time for that. But I don't think that
you can't automatically say he don't have those guys' respect because he was just a friend for him last year.
Yeah.
No, he's head coach now. He control, you know, he, like I said, do we have any evidence? Do we have any evidence that David Padgett is not the utmost forefront authority? Right?
Right.
And here's another thing. You see Trent Johnson sitting beside him, right?
Right.
Can you imagine if somebody says something slick under their breath and Trent Johnson is right there?
Right.
And he hears it and Padgett don't? That's what Paulus is there for. That's what Trent Johnson is for. That's who RJ is there for. I'm like, you have guys for all these situations. Trent Johnson may be the disciplinarian. You know what I'm saying? But what I'm saying is these narratives that you are already saying, again, keep on going back and saying it. If Quinn Snyder hits that shot, it was the seniors waking up. It was the senior point guard waking up. And here's the thing. You know what you wouldn't have done? You wouldn't have gave David Padgett that credit. You would have said, Quinn, second half, took over the game.
Yeah.
And then next game, you'd be saying, oh, but I don't know about this Padgett thing. He still doesn't seem like he. No, Quinn just started saying, okay, bleep, because this was the narrative before. Every successful player was the player that didn't give a damn about what Rick said.
Right.
That's the backroom narrative. That's the barbershop narrative, right? That when some OG walks up to you in the mall and they say, Hey, Ray, man, stop listening to Rick, man. Just go out and be you, right? That's what everybody says. If Quinn Snyder hits that three, because he started playing like a different person the second half, would you agree?
Yes.
Now, if you don't have those breakdowns and those turnovers between Dang Adele and Quinn Snyder that David Padgett can't do anything about, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you win that game, you give the credit to the players.
Yeah.
You don't give that credit to the coach. That's why I'm saying these players were in position to make plays to win the game. You can, while I still can agree with you, coach takes the hit.
Yeah.
Coach takes the hit, but when the product on the floor and the loss just on the floor as far as the product. And listen, I can agree with you. I know the execution is sloppy. I said it. When Honest doesn't bust his butt to get up there and set that screen, right? Like, you saw Anawaku used to be lazy about getting up to the screen.
Yeah.
And he would always get the foul because he was lazy. It took a season to teach Anawaku to get up, to bust his butt, to get up the top and set a pick and get in position, right? He would do that sometimes, and then he'd be lazy, and he'd get the foul.
Yes.
We go through growth of players during the season. Don't have revisionist history like everybody just knew this stuff automatically. It's not like that.
Right.
But right now, everybody's pissed, and I'm pissed, too, that you have to go through this growing pain on ESPN with Seth Greenberg letting you know about yourself.
Yeah, that was tough.
Elvis from A Loft Hotel. Elvis, thanks for joining us on 93.9, my man. What's on your mind?
Okay, now here's the deal.
You got to turn down that radio in the bedroom. Yeah,
he needs to tell all the big man, dunk the ball. If you don't try to dunk, you come. Quit calling Hakeem Olajuwon, call Shaquille O'Neal and teach these guys, if you don't dunk it, you're coming out, period. Because if we don't make threes, it's...
Am I losing you? We lost Elvis right there.
Yeah, we lost him.
But I will say this. There was a play where they give the ball to Ray Spalding. He's coming down the middle of the lane. He does a power dribble, kind of a little, you know, half power dribble. Has all the room for takeoff. Has all the clearance. And he just softly lays it in. Right?
Right.
That's the play that Patino dropped the ball on. And David Padgett is going to have to pick it up.
Yeah.
That, listen, I cannot, it's tough to watch Ray Spalding jump as high as he does for a defensive rebound. You know, like it legitimately, he jumps so high, the fast break is slowed down because he gets the ball, everybody's taken off. He's not even coming down yet.
Right.
I forgot who it was, the legendary guy who would rebound the ball, and they said, like Wesley Cox or something, they said he could rebound it and throw the ball full court and hit the backboard off a rebound. All right, Coach Jones. All right, Coach Davenport. I got to see it for myself, right?
Right.
Think about that, Steve. On a rebound, he could jump up, get the rebound, spin in the air, and throw the ball down and hit the other backboard.
Yeah, I'd have to see that one. All due respect.
With all due respect, Coach Davenport, Coach Jones, Coach Gay, Houston, Coach Crum, y'all are just lying.
That's one of those. It's like, I don't know if it was as good as y'all remember. Like, right. I mean, I'm sure it was good, but.
Listen, Kevin Love is great with outlet passes. You're not jumping in the air and spinning and throwing the ball on a dime down to the other end and hitting the backboard. And I also put this, Earl Manigault did not snatch a dollar off the top of the backboard and leave four quarters. You damn liars. Stop making up stories. Larry from Orlando, thanks for joining us, my man.
That's a perfect segue into what I was going to talk about, guys. I did see Wes Unsell a couple of times hit a rebound.
Wes Unsell, that's who I meant.
Throwing out.
Larry, that's not true. Listen, Larry, don't call on this show telling stories, okay? It better be true.
this one's true. He didn't hit the backboard at the other end of the court, but I guarantee you guys, he threw the ball 75, 80 feet to Butch Beard. And Butch Beard, I mean, it was continuous, game after game after game, easy layups all the time. What I called about today, guys, was our team that we have presently is going through some bad times. They're going to go through some bad times for the next probably 5 or 6 years. I'm into that. But what I called about was us as fans, as a fan base that we are, we're going to have to go into a transition period, too, and get into a transition mode. We don't have maybe not the players that we used to have, but we definitely don't have the coach we used to have. And we're just going to have to settle down, relax, and get into the games as they come one at a time, just like a person with a problem tab one day at a time, and live and love this basketball team like we should. I know it's a fan calling in and urging you guys, just stay with the program. Don't get off, don't be one of these off and on bandwagon fans. Stay with the program. It's going to come eventually. The name on the front says Louisville, and that's all that matters to me. And I'll quit rambling, guys. I appreciate you guys very much, and I'll talk to you later.
Larry, I appreciate the call. Now I feel guilty about challenging his story. But he did say it wasn't hitting the backboard on the other end. Okay, do you believe that the snatch the dollar and make change on the back top of the backboard?
No, absolutely not. No, I don't believe that.
Are you sure, Steve?
No.
A lot of people said it happened.
I would believe.
He snatched the dollar?
I'd believe you dunked on Jason Osborne or somebody before I would believe that.
What? Have I caught you, Jason? Wait a minute. Jason? Did I catch you at Wagner or something?
I don't know about it.
You don't think I can dunk on Jason Osborne?
No.
I have faith in you, Marcus.
You don't think I would have punched on Jason Osborne?
No.
You're wrong, Steve.
No, he's impressive. Have you stood next to that guy?
You're wrong. Ask him right now. Jason, call me.
He's one of the longest dudes, man.
Listen, Jason, I give you your props all the time. Jason, tell Steve right now that in transition, you think twice about jumping with me.
I don't think so.
I got your back.
100%. Appreciate that, Brian. Goodness gracious, Steve. Alex, thanks for joining us on 93.9, my man. What's on your mind?
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm going to try to be the rational caller. Like, don't get me wrong. I was pissed off with the game. I thought that we played really sloppy, and I think we have been. But we got to understand, like, Louisville fans, it's the same thing with the football team. We need to learn from our mistakes. As soon as we lost to Clemson, everybody was calling in, oh, this is terrible, it's a horrible season. And then we lost another game, it's terrible, it's horrible. But we have to give David Pazzi the time to get this team to gel. I said what they played.
Not Steve.
I'll give them 10 to 12 games because we can still make it in the tournament with 10 losses. But I'll give him 10 to 12 games to get the team together. We got to remember that he came in a really terrible situation. And so he has to learn his style. The coaching staff needs to gel. The kids need to gel with the coaching staff. So there's just a lot that needs to happen. And we can't go off the deep end like we did with the football team. I'm trying to learn from my mistakes. When the football team was doing bad, I was mad. I was smacking people, and I just was upset.
Like, wait, you were smacking people?
Well, in my mind, every time I saw somebody, I'd be like, I just want to smack them. Because they would be fans of another team, and their team be doing good. They want to talk about their team, and I'm like, I don't want to talk about your team. It's my team isn't doing good, so shut up. Like, it's, you know, just barbershop talk. You know, just don't like it. You know, don't talk about your team when my team's doing bad. That's the type of person I am. I know that's petty, but that's why I don't go to the barbershop all the time.
It's fair.
But thank you, guys. Always.
I appreciate the
call. That's like me the other day. We were talking, and I was like, my father-in-law was like, whoa. I'm like, well, I mean, who's Kentucky? Well, I mean, Vermont. Vermont can win 25 games. Oh, I didn't know you had that big win.
Goes right back to the built-in confirmation bias, right?
Right.
Winning by 8 points was a loss when Louisville did it, right?
Right.
Winning by 8 points, if you're another school, like ranked number 7 in the country, if you're one of those schools, winning by 7 is, they'll get it together. Their 3-point percentage will go up. How?
It's coach. You're getting that nationally too. You're getting
you
the people
to win the game.
See, Arizona State's head coach. How about that? But
he did just get a head coaching job.
But I mean, I think that people now are just saying, even nationally, they're going, well, we don't know if this dude can get it together.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Rick.
I mean, Kentucky. I mean, I'm not even going to hate on Kentucky here. I'm just using it as a point because I mean, it's so early
right up
in
the
season.
Street,
and you don't play a lot of teams early. But Kentucky has beat. I mean, I went down the list. I mean, Harvard. You go UIC. And you can go up down the list. You know, just different ones. But basically, when you compare who Louisville and Kentucky beat, there's nothing impressive on there.
Right.
But Kentucky's top 10, Louisville's probably going to be unranked today.
Right.
You know, and it's like both of them have the same case. Well, when we played a good team, we got beat. Except Kentucky has their full-time head coach.
Right.
We have a new guy, and you say, but one of them's top 10, and one of them's unranked. Now, I will say this.
Rick Pitino came in and made the NIT his first year.
Yeah. I mean, just didn't have nothing. If he would have had
Ellis? Get him.
Oh, no, Ellis.
Reese?
They went to a Final Four. My God. I mean, eventually.
Eventually?
It took a while.
But you know what you said? Oh, Rick's going to get it together.
Rick's going to get it together. And he did.
Right.
Yeah.
Dave Patch is going to get it together. See?
We'll see.
So you said Rick had already done it, so he gets his money was good.
I think.
What about the Rick coaching tree that everybody's successful? Isn't Padgett under the Rick coaching tree?
He is.
So why doesn't he get the coaching tree credit?
That's a good question. Why nationally do or even locally, why do we not get
every Rick Pitino assistant coach can damn near demand what they want to leave under Rick Pitino's program, and especially a guy who's been under there 3 years under Coach Pitino, you're supposed to get the stamp. How long was Keats under Rick?
A couple years. 3 years, let's say four years.
Yeah. Right? He's the top coach at NC State. Like, give him what you want.
Yeah, he's doing his thing.
Right.
Yeah. Now, that's a good point. I'll give in to that point. Yeah, 100%.
Big Mike, thanks for joining us on 93.9. My man, fire away. Turn down whatever got going on in the background first.
I ain't getting nothing out. What's going on, fellas?
You got to roll up that window.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you, but.
All right, sir. I got a question, man. Do you guys think that these players were handpicked for Pitino's type of offense or his type of coaching style?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, I think that this is a Rick Pitino recruited team.
Right.
Yeah, 100%.
Right. It's guys that can score, but he could push like crazy to be defensive players.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's fair.
And the frustration was when he couldn't get Dangadale to be a defensive player. Right? Donovan Mitchell came in, committed to defense without Rick's help.
Right.
Donovan Mitchell had something inside of him that was different.
Right.
So that's what I'm saying. Some of these players, like Dangadale, looks at Donovan Mitchell and thinks he has what Donovan Mitchell has in his brain, right?
Right.
But we knew Donovan Mitchell had a competitiveness and a defensive intensity.
Well, yeah, and like I said, I mean, there is something to be said.
And a work ethic.
Absolutely. I mean, if we were
under the same coach.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So, yeah. So that's I'm only saying that because those are the kind of things that make me say, hey, Quentin, you got to get it together on your own. You know, Dangadale, you got to get it together on your own.
It would be like taking some county coach out here and giving them Fern Creek and saying, "Here, coach that team."
Boy, they would be running that flex.
I want you all to set screens and crisp pass. And meanwhile, Fern Creek's out here running on everybody. So you know,
they look good too.
They do look.
Shout out to Fern Creek.
I mean, they're not gonna win it. They're not gonna win the state championship, but I mean, they should. I mean, they're the best team.
I was gonna say, yeah. Explain what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so they're people don't top get 20 in the country, but I mean, they won't win the state title. But we'll get to that when that
they
time
don't have
around.
A chance. Are you gonna say that, Steve?
I'm getting credentialed this year. We're getting credentialed to the Sweet 16, and we're setting courtside
at Rupp.
And I'm going to make sure to make – I'm going to do the shows. We're going to take a comrade.
You're going
to
wear red?
And we're going to do the shows. Oh, yeah. But we're going to do the shows from there, and we're going to say we're watching, and I'm going to eyeball every referee. They probably don't care.
You know what? Yeah, it's one of those things where we're going to wear a referee false patch.
Yeah.
You know, and we're going to – I would like to wear an FBI jacket – and have a pen and paper out.
Yeah, and just sit there and write.
Yeah, and just stare at the referees. And every time they have an exchange, just write something. And hey man, what that dude over there? Who is he? Do you know him? No, but he's staring at us the whole time. Yeah, just to make them feel like there's an internal investigation.
And
going
you just
on.
Give them a fair shake. If somebody can beat them, cool.
Nobody can beat that team.
I know.
Elvis, we lost you earlier. What's going on, my man?
Yeah, let's get this out of the way first. Marcus, you could not dunk on Jason Osborne. Mm. Now, Alvin Sims could, but you're not weighing in.
I weigh more than Jason Osborne at the time. What do you mean?
Yeah, I'm talking about, but you couldn't dunk on him. You got the Alvin Sims could, you couldn't.
No, you're wrong. You're just wrong.
He's got higher hops. He's got more weight on him. He's more of a dunker than you ever was.
Go ask Jason then.
Do you disagree with that?
Yeah, I disagree. Okay, what else is your point? You don't get me all worked up in here on my Monday morning. Yeah, what else is going on?
Alvin Sims punched on that kid from UCLA, the 6'9 kid, and he only took one step.
You think I dunked on Jamal McGlure? He's bigger than Jason Osborne. Go to my Twitter page and check it out right now. I appreciate the call. Did you just call in?
It's my point now.
Yeah. Oh no, but my point is, if I can dunk on Jamal McGlure, why can't I dunk on Jason Osborne? Sit down somewhere.
Hey, I'm not in this one. I just get it started.
Chris, thanks for joining us on 93.9, my man. Save the day. What's on your mind?
Marcus, let me get this out of the way before I bring what I really want to say. At one caller called in talking about Crawford Gym. This team couldn't win a game in Crawford Gym. You know what I'm talking about.
No Marcus team. Saturday. Listen, no millennial teams. Shot.
Hold on, you missed a shot. You could not, you was over. You had to wait, try to get somebody to take you back up. This team can't shoot. And then he's got B.J. King on a short leash. Let me explain something to you. The Purdue game, B.J. King was the only one that really came to play. He played defense. He played offense. He rebounded. Daniel Dale didn't show up.
Wait. Leave it at the V.J. Leave it at the V.J.
Okay. Now, the game yesterday, B.J. made one mistake and he snatched him out of the game. Adele can't dribble the basketball. He turns the ball over. He's clumsy. He's a bad player. He does not need the ball in his hand at the end of the game.
Chris, let me ask you this about your V.J. point. You said he's on a quick leash, right?
Yes, he is.
Okay. You said the exact same thing last year, right? V.J. King was on a quick leash under Pitino. And I listen, and if you say no, you're not telling the truth. You know you thought Pitino had V.J. on a quick leash, and everybody in the world was mad at Pitino for having him on a quick leash.
Right. Okay. Let me say something before you make your statement.
Do you agree? Do you agree what I said?
Yes, I do. Okay. I agree. He was on a short leash. But the point is, through the preseason games, B.J. hadn't really been playing good. Everybody been saying B.J. needs to step up and play. And the first meaningful game that we had against Purdue on the road, and he was the only upperclassman to step up and play. He played defense, he rebounded, and he scored. Am I right or wrong? Answer that.
He played great.
And he made one mistake during the first half yesterday, and what's called a snatched him right out of the game, and Adele was turning the ball over, doggone it. Like I eat Skittles, man.
You like Skittles?
He's a bad player, man. He turns the ball over too much. He don't know how to dribble. And we got two big men that you can't have in at the same time. Because you got Honest, who can't score, and you got Ray, who can't score. So that cripples the team.
So what would you do if you were coaching this team? What's your biggest change you would make?
I would put Ray in the middle. So at least I know one thing. Ray's going to jump at all times and give me good defense. And then I'm going to put four starters in.
Four starters?
I'm going to put four scorers in. Adele will not be one of them because as an upperclassman, he don't respect the team enough. He's too loose with the ball.
Appreciate the call, Chris. I mean, drop the mic. Right?
Yeah.
That was just passion, right?
And you got scolded, I felt like. And I thought that was schooled, fair.
Schooled or scolded?
Scolded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last two calls have been pretty interesting.
Not schooled.
Not so much schooled, I don't think. I don't totally disagree with him. I do think at this point, and it'd be interesting to see going forward, the one thing he did say.
Four scores and Ray, they will run. It will be in a Watterson expressway to the basket. Ray will be in foul trouble so fast. You need to put all defensive lineup I'd be okay with.
No, see, that's what I was going to say. I was going to say I don't mind if we do the Ray in the middle and four guys.
I don't mind, me personally, I don't mind finding the players with the toughness to go Ray Spalding, Dwayne Sutton, Darius Perry, Jordan Wara, and you know.
I'm looking at the box score now though, and I mean I know what he's saying, but VJ ain't thinking they'll have the same amount of turnovers. So I mean, it's kind of like, you know, that's the only thing I'd say, man. I don't hate though the idea of playing Ray in the middle or even if it's honest in the middle. Maybe you want him more of an eraser or whatever. But
in my opinion, Dangadel and Honest Mahmood are playing a lot less. You know?
Yeah.
They're just playing less.
Yeah.
They're not. I
mean, Dingadell's getting 37 minutes or so now.
Yeah, you
knock that down.
That won't work.
28?
Actually, if Quentin plays aggressive, he can play. If he goes back to, you know, just kind of holding the ball and just kind of working around the top.
Well, he looked good yesterday.
Yeah. Second half. Yeah, first half. Like I said, if second half Quentin, he can play all day. You can play a lineup with Darius. It's like a Donovan, you know, defensively, you know. Having a Donovan in there when you got Darius Perry. I can do that, but not the first half guy. Amy, thanks for joining us on 93.9. What's on your mind? Amy, you there?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. You know, I was just thinking. I remember people calling in or talking about Patino and his substitution policies that they didn't think were good in there in his lineup. So I don't think it's all David Padgett. And it's not because it's not Patino.
Right. No. Amy, I appreciate the call. I said, I just want to be careful of the narratives that are just, you know, you're just hard on Padgett because he's a new guy and you're not comfortable with him. Because there's a natural uncomfortness with a coach, especially when he's 32, even though he doesn't carry himself like 32-year-old young guy overwhelmed. Everybody who's done anything with him, who's talked to him, says the same thing. Quick commercial break. Midday with Marcus Maben. 8150. 939 is the number on 939 FM.
Keep it locked on Middays with Marcus Maben, presented by PapaJohns.com on 93.9 The Ville. And right now, enjoy three medium one-topping pizzas for $5.55 each when using the promo code MABEN5.
Welcome back. It's Midday with Marcus Maben, 8150. 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. Madison, thanks for holding on. What's on your mind?
First of all, everybody just needs to calm down. Goodness gracious. Okay, given the benefit of the doubt is never easy when it's your team and you want to see them win and yada yada and all this other stuff. But as far as this year, I think we're all frustrated for a variety of reasons, but like our football team, we expected, you know, probably going to be, oh, we're going to maybe make the playoffs and blah, 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 and then we have a 4-loss season. So it's kind of like, and given the benefit of the doubt to the football team, everybody kind of understood to an extent, but then there was just kind of like, you know what, we need to get it together, Bobby needs to get it together, all this other stuff. Given the benefit of the doubt to this basketball team is not the same at all in any way, shape, or form. Do you realize that we have true freshmen coming in and giving us valuable minutes off the bench? You realize that true freshmen – did you see that lockdown defense Darius Perry played yesterday on the ball? Did you see that?
I did.
You didn't see a lot of it. He only played 13 minutes.
But, oh, my God. But when he's in, he makes a difference. When Nora's in, he makes a difference. Malik had a few little moments yesterday. He's coming around. It's always harder for the big guys to come around, it seems like. But this team is super young, new in so many aspects. I kind of agree with one of the callers that earlier that said something about how they already have a relationship with Padgett and they're friendly with Padgett, whereas with Patino they weren't really friendly. And I think to an extent that might be a little bit, they're a little too comfortable. I do agree that Dingadell's being a little lazy when he's handling the ball, but he is the one who hit the shot to tie the game for us yesterday. He has been scoring. He has been coming up clutch. So, and he's been getting hacked probably more than anybody on the team, whether it's jump shot, driving to the lane, whatever, and he's probably super frustrated not getting any calls. But that's a whole other story. But just take a breath. Like I was talking about last week, I love this team. I love Louisville sports, football, basketball, like baseball, soccer. Like, I get frustrated and yell at the TV and all that more than anybody. But for this basketball team, just we're 4-2. It could be so much worse. We could be not even playing right now, honestly.
No,
we could be not even playing.
Right.
So just take count your blessings that we're getting to watch Louisville basketball, that we're getting to watch these freshmen come in and getting to applaud them and getting to see, you know, it's Quentin's senior year. We owe it to those guys, especially, who've been here through all this junk that's been going on. Padgett's having to suffer through a lot, you know, and everybody, they can't shut up about Rick Pitino no matter what's going on in the game. It's every other freaking word. Like, just give them a break. We're 4-2. You can see it's evident every game, you know, especially like coming out of halftime yesterday. Padgett made adjustments. They worked. We were able to kind of work our way back. We had a chance to win, and we lost at the last second to a good team. So just chill. We're going to be okay. It's 5:02 all day, every day.
I appreciate the call, Madison. I mean, and again, you're not being super positive when you say, okay, you lost two tough ones, but you have a long way to go. It's okay to say you're kind of in a danger zone. You know, your momentum's bad. But again, take it even back to football, for example. The feeling of knowing your team is hot towards the end of the season. Yeah, you feel like you missed out on some opportunity. But here's the thing. In basketball, if you're playing this hot at the end of the year like you are in football,
right?
It's a 64-team tournament, right? It's a 64-team. You have a chance to be 5 and 6 seeds and get in there and make something happen. So it's not like one loss and you're done for, you know, you're done for the conference championship.
No, and that's what I think you're looking at, man. I feel like you're looking at a team that is probably, whereas we thought was more of a 1-2 seed that was going to be a dominant team with over the summer. I think now you're saying, that may be more of a 4-6 seed that hopefully come in playing hot.
Right, right.
Which, in a lot of times, that team makes the Final Four. I mean, I will say that.
I was going to say, your hot 5 seed.
So we're going to the Final Four.
Your hot 5 seed.
Book my hotel.
Makes the Final Four. Don't be snarky,
San Antonio.
Steve.com. Tino the Barber, thanks for joining us on Midday with Marcus Maven. Fire away.
Hey, man. No respect to the lady before, man, quit telling me to calm down, man. I ain't calming down.
Quit trying to calm me down.
Yeah, man, I'm upset, man. And the reason why I ain't calming down is because it ain't the freshman who's, like, hurting them.
I ain't calming down no more. I'm thinking you trying to calm me down.
Right, man, I ain't calming down. Hey, it's the freshman who's coming in and doing good.
Yeah.
But it's the seniors. That's what makes me worry. It's Q waiting to the second and a half to show up. It's Dagger Dale going for his. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and see, you said it in a nice way, going for his, because that's just the bottom line. Dang Adele's out there going for his.
Yeah, I mean, I watched one time. It was it's the second time I watched it. He come up on a fast break. He had BJ King over on the side, man, and he went straight to the hole, man. I mean, nobody passes the ball for him. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know if I ain't noticed it from BJ, but he. I think you may have brought it up earlier, man. I think he might be peaking a little bit too, trying to go for his, man. And honest, man, you can't, dude. He don't even post up. Now I don't know if he ain't posting up because he knows he ain't gonna get the ball, or he just ain't being aggressive. Because the man got some nice moves down low. If he posts up and we work the ball around and get it down low to him, man, the dude got some moves, man. But he don't even post up. He's one of one jump. I mean, he's not one jumper, but he just jumped.
Right.
He don't get no tip-ins or nothing like that.
No, listen, I appreciate
it. And to his point, too, they never outlet passed, I don't think, once yesterday.
Right. I will say this. VJ, the difference between a VJ going for his and a Dang Adele going for his is VJ, along with wanting to get hot and wanting to get going, he's rebounding. He's doing the extra stuff. He looks like he's trying to do everything. You know, he's running hard. And the Dang Adele is just not doing it. Dang Adele's just doing it on the offensive end. That gamble at the top of the key, Steve, That's not solid defense. That's just going for a steal and an easy bucket.
Well, you get a couple every once in a while.
You do get some of it. My God, you beat some people in some rough situations.
No, I know. So I don't know. It's one of those things where now we've got today out of the way. Yeah. Now you got Wednesday, but you under no circumstances can lose a game this week. You must beat Siena, and you must beat IU Saturday. Period.
Are we gonna say? Just say that one more time.
Just period. That's it. I got nothing else to say about it. You beat Siena, you beat IU.
I'm not going to say anything else. You heard the disgust in my man Steve Rummage voice. And the disgust is not at the team. It's just Steve Rummage being Steve Rummage. Period. Thanks for joining us 10 to 12 every day. As always, 8150 939 is the number. As always, 3831 939 is the text line. As always, 939.